Radio Eran. Kiron Makmahuna presents In the Shades of Crocmare, the story of Oran Wee Shola, Mrs. Costello's collection of Irish folk songs from Galway and Mayo.
Crocmare, the great hill of the plain, so conspicuous in the landscape, is about 5 miles to the west of Tuam in the barony of Clare and county of Galway. Its northern slope is occupied by the woods and cultivated grounds of Castle Hecate, the seat of Dennis Kirwan, Esquire. And on its lofty summit stands the great cairn within which tradition and ancient history say Caesar, one of the earliest colonists of Ireland, was interred. Perhaps we do not err in assigning to this ancient burial place a date anterior to that of any other identified historical locality in Ireland. And hence, tradition, as well as popular superstition, has thrown over it the investiture of fairy legend beyond all other places in the country. For here, Finnvera, the Oberon of Irish sylvan mythology, holds his court.
So wrote Sir William Wilde in his book Loch Corrib over 100 years ago. And 70 years later, the words are echoed in another context.
The proximity of Crocmare, the home of Finnvera and his fairy host, must ever be an inspiration for the revival and preservation of the folk music and folklore of the Tuam district. There is not, I suppose, in the whole of Ireland another place figuring so largely in the realm of traditional song and folklore as this comparatively insignificant hill of 552 feet.
These are the words of Mrs. Costello in the introduction to her great collection of Irish folk songs, Oran Wee Shola. Mór Shola was the old Irish name for the district round Crocmare, a district that was bounded on the west by Loch Corrib and Loch Mask. And Crocmare was certainly an inspiration to the young woman who came to Tuam 60 years ago, the wife of Dr. Thomas Costello. But the fairies of this enchanted hill can't account for all her interest in Irish literature, Irish history, and particularly in Irish folk song. Before her marriage, she was Eileen Drury, born in London, of a Limerick father and a Welsh mother. This Celtic background certainly swayed the young girl towards all things Irish, and she was soon in the thick of Irish cultural activity in the London of the 1890s. She became a member of the Irish Literary Society and the Gaelic League, and was for a time assistant secretary of the Irish Text Society. Mrs. Costello is now in graceful retirement in Tuam, and when we visited her there a short time ago, she had just celebrated her 90th birthday. But with a mind as keen as any young person, she was able to tell us all about those early days in London 70 years ago, and could remember the people with whom she associated in the Irish Literary Society.
Eleanor Hull was there. I remember sending a lot of my songs to her, and she took them to the man at the head of the College of London College of Music in London. The Irishman, you know.
Oh, Stanford.
Stanford. Mm-hmm. Willis Stanford. And Alfred Percival Graves was one of them. You know, the father of Lynn Man.
Yes.
He was there. And Barry O'Brien. And Sir Charles Russell was a member. That's the son of Lord Russell of Killowen, you know. Mm-hmm. He was Lipton's solicitor. Ooh. And he got hold of Lipton and got Lipton to give a prize of £100 for some historical essays.
At the meetings and outings of the London branch of the Gaelic League, Mrs. Costello could hear plenty of Irish songs at first hand from the young Irishmen who, at that time, filled so many places in the British civil service. But at an early stage, she also developed an interest in the work of famous Irish folk music collectors such as Bunting and Petrie.
What I did first was I used to go to the British Museum and study all the old books that were there, the early printing of Irish songs and so on. And I liked it very much, and I thought to myself, that's the sort of thing I'd like to do.
And that was the sort of thing she was destined to do. She married Dr. Thomas Costello and came to live in Tuam in 1903. At that time, Tuam and all the area around was a flourishing Gaeltacht, but more than that, it was a district steeped in traditional music and traditional singing. She came to know the Hessian family of Belle Clare.
What happened was, you see, my husband introduced me to these Hessians. They lived out in Belle Clare, just under, nearly under Castlehackett. And I traced them back for five or six generations where they'd been connected with the Irish people and learning songs and singing and so on, and taking them down. And then they had a splendid mother. She wouldn't speak to them in English at all. When they came home from school, they had to talk Irish all the time. So the whole family were splendid at it, you see. There's Annie Hessian and Maggie Hessian, and then the father and mother, both of them. And I remember them all going up once to the Eryxus, and I think there were about nine of them.
And they were all singers, mother and father and nine children. Years later, in 1919 to be exact, when Aurain Mhui Seol appeared, the very first song in the book was one Mrs. Costello had collected from young Maggie Hessian. It was the song called Cunde Mhui Seol, also well known in the translation by George Fox.
When I dwelt at home in plenty, and my gold did much abound, in the company of fair young maids, the Spanish ale went round. 'Tis a bitter change from those gay days, that now I'm forced to go, and must leave my bones in Santa Cruz, far from my own Mayo.
Yes, 'twas young Maggie Hessian of Belle Clare who sang that song for Mrs. Costello over 50 years ago. She later became Mrs. McCann and has lived in Dublin most of her life, the wife of Dr. Sean McCann. And when we called to her house in Terranure some time ago, she sang again for us that very same song of many, many years ago.
Agus merach bas mugor in veinche maglior Vach kline gon fins banya gom agus kulo dor banog Merach shiro na garthi Singili the vira lager Nie Santa Cruz da kima krawi fin wod Ta krok ne karu mi li shoshim sul glior Ta kerkis kali friyan Kishiri shidim kyol Ta uli blasta buyan Ta smirir war na grivan Is ta game noch boys lian ek tachtil wirwor Good dagi krok no kruche kurtig in el war Good dagi in timin lochre bogluch no bo Good dagi krok nefin war go noch erin Nis gari meg heglat hunde ujo.
These were the old songs to be heard at Hessian's in Belle Clare half a century ago. And Maggie Hessian, Mrs. McCann, recalls memories of those days of her youth.
Well, now all these songs
You sing. Your mother used to sing, isn't she?
It's her, she who gave us all these songs, so the ones that I have, and my grandmother also, you know.
Well, what was your grandmother's name?
She was Greeny. She was Margaret Greeny. Greeny. Yeah. My mother's name was Rainey. She was Ellen Rainey.
From around the same
from
part
Ballinsleave.
Of the country?
From Ballinsleave. My grandmother was from Ballinsleave.
Yeah, that's near Belclare, of course.
Well,
near Carlisle.
Nearer to Carlisle Strand, yes.
Well, then, do you remember when Mrs. Costello started collecting her songs?
I do. I remember. She used to ask me in to pay her a visit, weekends and weeks, and when I was on holidays. And I'd sing the songs over and she'd play them on the piano and then we'd practice them over, you know, and I spent several weekends with her.
In tune.
In tune, yes.
Well, no, you were a teacher yourself.
No, I was just a child at the time. I hadn't started to teach at the time, you know.
Well, now I see a lovely cup here in front of me, dated 1906. What was the... That was the Oireachtas.
That was the Oireachtas, yes.
Well, you must have been very young.
I think I was about 12, I think, at the time. And I had competed for... I was singing and storytelling and recitations and I wrote essays and... I forget really how many subjects now, but I got a great number of prizes that year.
Well, that cup was presented by...
Pádraig MacPhiarais. It was called the Pádraig MacPhiarais Cup.
And you won it out?
I won it outright, yes.
And so, through the Hessian family and Mrs. Hoban of Milltown and many others in the Tuam area, Mrs. Costello slowly but surely put on paper the traditional songs of Galway and Mayo. Her husband, Dr. Thomas Costello, was a great help to her in this work because of his knowledge of the people and because of his knowledge of Irish.
He spent the first 2 years of his life out in Dangan, Connemara. 2 years of his medical profession. And then he came to Tuam. So he was a good speaker. And if he knew anybody that had any old songs or anything, would he come in and sing to the wife, like to hear them and so on, do you see? That's how it began. And then I used to learn off the first verse. First verse. And hum it over to myself in tonic sol fa. I knew the both, you see, staff notation and the staff and the tonic.
As yet, there was little thought of publication. But about 1911, she did send one song to Charlotte Milligan Fox, who was then secretary of the Irish Folk Song Society, and this appeared in 1912 in volume 10 of the Society's journal. It was a sad but beautiful love song, Tukigan Saura.
Summer at last, and the grass grows green, and the leaves grow fast on the top of the trees. My love will call at the morn's first light, and make sweet music for my heart's delight.
This song had been sung for Mrs. Costello in different versions. One version was given to her by Mary Conway of Ballintlave near Tuam. The same Mary Conway, now Mrs. Craven, sang it for us a short time ago, just as she had sung it for Mrs. Costello 50 years ago.
Chokin saurag is fasin fair. Agus titi on dillur go arn greu. Choc moros a wali le cun ge. Agus bai mod nien dille a iri le. And touch a land in some mallow doll. And so not you go in my burning bun. A banelli egge egge
noch will es sich doch richtig gar kratiert haben. Nil mora saradona bui Bobi ue hiangole orri.
At that time, there was a young priest in St. Giarlath's College in Tuam. His name was Father Malachy Eaton, and he took a tremendous interest in this collection of folk songs which Mrs. Costello had built up in manuscript. He helped her a great deal in transcribing the texts of the songs, and it was he suggested that they should be published as one collection. He also helped to rid Mrs. Costello of her despondency over the sharp and critical pen of a certain Canon O'Leary. But we'll let Mrs. Costello herself tell us about Father Malachy Eaton.
Afterwards, then, he said to me, he said, you know, what you ought to do is print these songs. Print them. Well, I said, I don't feel I'd be scholar enough. I said, I'm afraid of that man down in the south that used to be always picking holes in Irish and that sort of thing. I've forgotten his name now.
Canon O'Leary.
Yes. And so he said, I'll help you, he said. So he did. I'd take down a song, don't you know, phonetically even. Mm-hmm. And he'd get it right.
Father Malachy Eaton's advice was taken, and the songs were prepared for publication. They were published by the Irish Folk Song Society and formed a complete volume of that society's journal, the volume for 1918. The full title was
Oroin Vui Shola, Traditional Folk Songs from Galway and Mayo, collected and edited by Mrs. Costello Tuam.
There were 80 songs in all, music and text together with translations and notes. There were long songs and short songs, drinking songs and sober songs, sad songs and gay songs, but mostly sad songs, like Sallow Grua.
Oh, was it too soon then at 16 to woo her, who lit in my young heart love's secret flame? Dear heart of my bosom, 'twas fate I should lose you, who slipped for me soon to your home in the clay.
Nach mission through here, he golga kargi no nasi, he gol is gari lisi in a bro. Egil winch maleni er wakan malave scan pion vrin banye ngam verin go nil me Is a year.
A book of folk songs from this part of the country round East Galway would have to include Raftery. Though born in Killeedon in Mayo, his adopted country was Galway. The blind poet and fiddler was made welcome in every house from Tuam to Loughrea, and those who didn't welcome him out of love did so out of fear, the fear that he might make a song about them. But Raftery had a soft heart, too, a heart that moved him to write the lament for the poor people from Annachcuin, who were drowned in Loch Corrib on their way to a fair in Galway.
Mam shes launches father was trachter mid bow was on a coin smart way a mire a hire smart a band is pushed in tashless soul a rain and grass the chap never's poros nor where the top of the wind in Berton which roar. Ach, Allah, a brilish congina bostuch is long a void a combus quabus roar. Nar vore tino as kulne nene hef vekken sien ter chul gien. Skredach skine skan roch dine an vroeg a kier san krech garin. Vi boach liog an tiecht an ovel Gashin Rochus Gador to Gakil Scarabeg Lesabosta Vigadora Say in the glory nor war fell.
Talking of Annachcuin brings us to the English translation in Our Ain Fhuí Seola. The literal translations were done by Father Malachy Eaton, but it's not generally known that the verse translations, such as in Annachcuin, were the work of the late Monsignor Porrick de Brún. This was confirmed by Mrs. Costello herself.
If you notice, some of the songs in my book are masculinely translated. And who did those was Dr. Paddy Brown.
Monsignor Porrick de Brún?
Yes, Brún. Was he was Paddy Brown then in Maynooth.
Yeah.
He was there, and he and Father Eden became great friends, you see. And he got interested in the songs. And so he began to write them, write medical translations. And I remember asking, oh, what's the name of that poet in Dublin? He's a Protestant, I think. Austin
Clark.
Clark. He said to me one day, who did that translation? He said, of Annachcuin. So I told him confidentially, I said, don't say anything, but I said, that's who it was. But that ought to be in an anthology, he said.
Mam shes launches father was trachter mid bow.
If my health is spared, I'll be long relating of that boat that sailed out of Annachcuin, and the keening after of mother and father and child by the harbour, the mournful croon. O King of Graces, who died to save us, 'twere a small affair for but one or two, but a boat bought bravely in calm day sailing, without storm or rain to be swept to doom. What wild despair was on all faces to see them there in the light of day. In every place there was lamentation and tearing of hair as the wreck was shared. And boys there lying, when crops were ripening, from the strength of life they were born to clay. In their wedding clothes, for their wake they robed them. O King of Glory, man's hope is vain.
Gredach's queen is gone roch dine an vroeg a kier is an ikrach garind. Vi boach liog an tiacht an ovel ga sin er chroch.
In Mrs. Costello's book, the names of the singers are given with each song, and one finds the same names cropping up again and again. Mrs. Hessian and her daughter Maggie Hessian of Belclare, Mrs. Hoban of Milltown, Bridget Ford of Ceylon near Tuam, Pat O'Neill of Drumgriffin, Mary Conway of Ballantlava. Towards the end of the book, there are a few songs from a little further afield, in the county of Mayo. These were mostly contributed by Dr. and Mrs. Connor Maguire of Clare Morris. This Dr. Maguire was born in Carraroe, where his father was dispensary doctor, and his first language was Irish. Later, the family moved to Conn. The young Connor Maguire became a doctor like his father, and eventually came to Clare Morris. That's over 50 years ago. Here, through the influence of Douglas Hyde, he began to take an active interest in the Irish language movement. His son, Dr. George Maguire of Clare Morris, takes up the story.
Well, our father then came on from Kong. He subsequently became dispensary doctor here in Clare Morris. And it was then he got interested in the Gaelic League and Douglas Hyde. He got to know Douglas Hyde and Pierce and all the people who were founding the Gaelic League and being interested in everything Irish. And they were delighted to find that he was a very fluent Irish speaker. And it was Douglas Hyde who induced my father to learn to write Irish, to write down Irish. He wasn't able to do that previous to meeting Douglas Hyde. Well, mother had practically no knowledge of Irish. She was very much interested in music and was a very good pianist. And she became interested in Irish folk music and became a great friend of Mrs. Costello's of Tuam. And there were some people around the district here who had a lot of old Irish songs. There's one old man named Ned Gibbons, who subsequently became a great friend of Douglas Hyde's, and he was a great Shanahy, and also he used to sing Irish songs, and I think his name is mentioned in Mrs. Costello's Auron Muihola. I often remember them down in the square in Clare Morris where we lived, and she'd have him at the piano singing for her while she noted down the songs as accurately as she could, and then she'd play them over for him, and it was amusing sometimes to hear him correcting her and pointing out that she had got the wrong note here and there. And her father was interested in the music, but he also was interested in the folklore, and he collected all the number of old stories from the people round about, which he published subsequently in the New Ireland Review, then being edited by Father Finlay.
One of the songs written down by Mrs. Maguire from the singing of Ned Gibbons of Clare Morris was Ilan Erdi, which is really another version of Sallow Grua.
In Ilan Erdi, my first love's grave is, my heart I gave her when I was young. To hear the wailing of her three lone babies, sure none can please them, my heart is wrung.
In Ilan Erdi, in Tamarons, my chechak, and vanner dig me lehe, marunus me oga. In Tabert erin chel, Ege golna de agam agus a ban mreka a hen fin vod. Or nil me ach y trelag nil agar va hela nil miser en os ach mar vachn hjo. Ta fwyla ma chrysia, ga hilt na jora, is a ye ke hin te se, nia ma helo gyrua, a ma rada velin, nar chomari av na brega, guste vendas, nar au hegem banle fall.
Other songs in Our Oin Fhui Shola brought Mrs. Costello still further afield. They brought her back to her early days in London, such songs as Nellie Vaughan.
I learned this song many years ago from my very dear friend Micheál Branach, Indra Warren Spittle, who passed his brief life first as secretary to the Gaelic League of London and afterwards as Ard Ullav chief professor in the Irish College in Partrie, County Mayo. I well remember the occasion on which I noted it down. It was one cold winter night on the journey back from Woolwich to London, where a party of us had gone, in our enthusiasm, to try and start a branch of the Gaelic League among the colony of Irishmen living there. It was late, it was cold, and we were hungry. But we were young, and our spirits were high, and the hot baked potatoes we had bought from a barrow on our way to the station to warm our hands served afterwards to appease our appetites, only we'd forgotten to beg a bit of salt. We had a carriage to ourselves, and we whiled away the time in singing. This song, Nellie Vaughan, was Micheál Branach's contribution. Another scene stands out in my memory a few years later, all too few. A dreary November day on the long stretch of road beside a grey sea from Galway out to Indrawan, where to the wailing of the pipes and the heening of the women, we laid poor Micheál Branach to rest in his own beloved Cosharriga.
And in the same Cosharriga, the district along by Spittle and Rossaville, other songs and other singers came to light. Pilib the Waldrahe of Ballyhaunis, the Gaelic League organiser, collected a number of these songs and passed them on later to Mrs. Costello. One of them, on Gaua Cearthan, was sung for him by Caitney Costello of Spittle. And just recently we heard the same song from the same singer, now Mrs. O'Conloin and the mother of a younger generation of traditional singers and musicians.
No, gus ka me blie, no gus raha, o mo au kyaar, turn a good lion. Torisk mo grani waris, no grani kime, ahead my sherish. Tan pabal mo ye go krachi, o sniarim, o mo winchir hen. Ah, I do go to call Tamar's Serbop Ni Heledem Mush Serita Maharin O Snap Fade Wemche Gram Hrim A Yelon Hulin Fe Kui Dees ni warid beom. Margar harintu million mor arum achis doin onir walate ach ni nuire bearlem postelat gomor mor na vlaishtem ogosti morine gom chei per mora wadwem nie dem vol no guivor engehine nagmachtelun da mekhshin sterim hinti ogsnihe vekhirakdu ach lemri wenda wen kachimse viskoy hiven leshen murdan ruem da mekhshin sterim hinti ogsnihe ve kher hakdu ahlemrun da wen kadishimse vein khoyiven leshen nared kuen.
But we turn the pages once more, and inevitably we come again and again to songs sung to Mrs. Costello by Maggie Hessian, Mrs. McCann, Caislán Inéil, Moira ni Griefer, who was the Gurtahar Nine, Moira ni Vangoin, O Gani Gusil, which has echoes of the ghost lover theme of European balladry.
O gentle young lover, where slept you last night? I slept in your bed by your own slender side. If you knew of my vision, you'd finish with sleep your very own coffin to be passing my street.
O Gani Gusil, Kar chodil thurir, cholud lapin, siunar eritu me. Tamach fis mletr magud, yuna goloch dhulnil. Skarbed chora vi golem beloch, e dagan arin shon mahiu snor airim sher mayin shim fayer myor snor lim sher malabi bim gosnil gmor ta gruy mahiyachi
Songs like O Gani Gusil are of a type which can be described as timeless and nameless, versions of very old folk songs with forgotten origins. But there are in Aurain Mhui Seola more local songs, songs which have emerged directly from the shades of Crochmaa and from Castle Hacket, which was the seat of the Kerwin family, one of the 12 tribes of Galway. There's a lament for the death of John Kerwin.
This lament was composed by Pat Graney and sung to me by his great-granddaughter, Maggie Hessian. The occasion of its making was the tragic death of young John Kerwin of Castle Hacket.
The lament was sung for us by Mrs. Craven, formerly Mary Conway.
She won to yer. Nor be she no la brono, Egelon fear is mro. Da mech ma wunda chino, ni stop of my huye. Ach, ich ja noch schemlen, wo wäschen tiefs kinklar. na vecchia son couple, ma gen vre ruchte.
And so it was that the readers of the Journal of the Irish Folk Song Society found themselves with a unique collection of Irish songs from the West. Later, in 1923, Aráin Mhuí Seola was reprinted, not in the journal this time, but as a separate book published by the Talbot Press in Dublin. It's now out of print, and copies are scarce. And there are great changes in other ways round Tuam and Castle Hacket, but Mrs. Costlow is still there, hale and hearty at 90 years. She can remember with pride how, with the help of Maggie Hessian and all the others, she put on paper Aráin Mhuí Seola, the old songs that were sung in the shades of Croc Mar.
Skellu